What happens when you stop fighting pirates and join them instead? In November 2008, the comedy troupe Monty Python faced a choice familiar to countless content creators: watch their sketches get stolen on YouTube or do something radical. They chose radical. They launched their own channel, uploaded high-quality videos, and told the world, "We're letting you see absolutely everything for free. So there. But we want something in return. Click on the links, buy our movies and TV shows, and soften our pain and disgust at being ripped off all these years." Within 3 months, their DVD sales exploded by 23,000%, hitting #2 on Amazon's bestseller list. This wasn't luck. It was the counterintuitive power of zero as a price point. By giving away what cost nothing to distribute, they generated massive exposure and dramatically boosted sales of physical products. This paradox, making money by charging nothing, has created an economy as large as a good-sized country, all revolving around $0. The strategy of free didn't start with the internet. In 1895, a carpenter named Pearl Waite created flavored gelatin his wife dubbed Jell-O, but consumers showed zero interest in this unfamiliar food. After businessman orator Frank Woodward bought the struggling brand for $450, he tried something revolutionary in 1902, printing thousands of free recipe pamphlets and distributing them door to door. Salesmen would blanket towns with these booklets, then visit local merchants, advising them to stock Jell-O for the coming demand. By 1904, this transformed Jell-O into a runaway success, reaching $1 million in annual sales by 1906. King Gillette's safety razor flopped initially, just 51 razors sold in 1903. His breakthrough? Selling razors cheaply to partners who gave them away, creating demand for high-margin blades. This razor and blades model spread everywhere: cheap printers with expensive ink, free phones with costly plans, complimentary coffee makers requiring proprietary pods. But 20th century free differs fundamentally from 21st century free. Traditional free uses cross subsidies. One product subsidizes another. Digital free exploits near zero distribution costs. The physical atoms economy is inflationary. The digital bits economy is deflationary. Free takes distinct forms. Direct cross subsidies make products free to entice other purchases. Walmart's buy one, get one DVDs draw shoppers who buy profitable items. Three-party markets involve advertisers funding free content and merchants subsidizing consumer credit cards. Freemium offers free basic versions alongside premium paid options. Unlike traditional samples limited by real costs, digital freemium flips the ratio. Typically, 95% access free versions while 5% pay for premium features. This works because marginal costs of serving free users approach zero. Flickr's free photo sharing with a $25 a year pro version exemplifies this model. Non-monetary markets encompass anything people give away expecting no payment. Gift economies like Wikipedia, where contributors seek reputation, attention, or expression. Beyond these exists a special price point, less than nothing, where you get paid to use products through cashback rewards. Traditional economics had little to say about free, but behavioral economists discovered that zero is not just another price, zero is an emotional hot button, a source of irrational excitement. MIT professor Dan Ariely's chocolate experiments revealed something remarkable. When Lindt truffles cost 15 cents and Hershey's Kisses cost 1 cent, 73% chose the truffle. But when both prices dropped by 1 cent, making the kiss free, 69% suddenly chose the kiss. Free removes the possibility of loss. That single penny forces consumers to ask, "Is it worth it?" raising a mental flag that creates disincentive. Economist Nick Sago explained why micropayments fail. Though economically minimal, they impose cognitive costs that make them unappealing. Free products maximize reach but can encourage waste. When Google offered free conference snacks, attendees took half-eaten bags everywhere. A charity providing free bus tickets found they were frequently lost. After instituting a $1 fee, people lost fewer tickets. The minimal investment made them value the tickets more. Three technologies are becoming too cheap to meter: computer processing, digital storage, and bandwidth. Bandwidth doubles every 9 months, storage capacity yearly, and processing power every 18 months. A transistor that cost $10 in 1961 costs approximately 0.00015 cents today. This triple play enables previously impossible business models. Companies can sell products at tomorrow's costs rather than today's. Fairchild Semiconductor demonstrated this in the 1960s by selling transistors to RCA at $1.05 each when production costs were $100, correctly anticipating that scale would rapidly drive costs down. Digital technologies face no price constraints because semiconductors have a high brains-to-brawn ratio, mostly intellectual rather than material inputs. Ideas propagate without limit or cost, driving prices towards zero. Caltech professor Carver Mead recognized this created a moral imperative to stop conserving transistors and start wasting them, revolutionary in the 1970s when computing resources were rationed. Alan Kay at Xerox PARC demonstrated this by developing graphical interfaces that made computers accessible to everyone, laying the web's foundation. Microsoft's battle with free began in 1975 when Bill Gates complained about software piracy. Though Microsoft established paid software, piracy persisted in developing markets like China. Gates pragmatically accepted this, stating in 1998 that if Chinese users were going to steal software, we want them to steal ours to build dependency until payment became feasible. In the 1990s, Netscape's free browser prompted Microsoft to bundle Internet Explorer with Windows, triggering antitrust litigation. By 2002, Microsoft confronted open-source software, particularly Linux, which had captured 25% of the web server market. Microsoft's response to Linux followed the five stages of grief before reaching pragmatic acceptance. Today, the market supports multiple models: totally free software, free with paid support, and traditional paid software, proving free doesn't destroy existing business models but creates space for coexistence. Video games now compete directly with television and film for attention, racing fastest toward free. The industry has shifted online, eliminating manufacturing costs while creating unlimited shelf space. Games monetize through virtual item sales, like MapleStory's 60 million users buying teleportation stones, subscriptions such as Club Penguin's 700,000 paid subscribers generating $40 million annually, in-game advertising, and real estate sales. The gift economy has become explicit and measurable. Millions of bloggers write without compensation, creating everything from reviews to comprehensive guides. Their motivations include community participation, personal growth, and mutual support, not reputation or money. This volunteer economy represents a massive reallocation of cognitive surplus, creative energy untapped by traditional jobs. People contribute freely online because it satisfies needs for respect, attention, and expression that paid work neglects. The web provided tools to realize this non-monetary production economy. The best way to exploit abundance is relinquishing control. Today's innovators spot new abundances and figure out how to squander them productively. YouTube exemplifies this. Critics call it full of crap, missing that quality is subjective in a vast experiment exploring video's potential. Digital inevitability means if it's digital, eventually it's free as marginal costs approach zero. Google built an empire giving away services that once cost thousands. Physical goods follow digital trends. Tesla gives away patents while profiting on cars. Multiple paths monetize free offerings. Premium features save time, reduce risk, offer status, or provide exclusive content. Being first to free creates powerful advantages. Google Maps eliminated the GPS device market. New scarcities emerge from every abundance. Free digital music created scarcity in live performances. Free content made curation valuable. Your challenge isn't whether to embrace free, it's how quickly you reimagine value where zero has become the most powerful price.